You are watching Christ's Commission Fellowship, changing lives for eternity.
I am privileged and glad to start this series of radical love. Everybody, what's our topic today? Practice radical love. Now, what enters your mind when you think of the word radical? Extremist? The word radical is from a Latin word, radix, root. How come it became radical? The idea is versus something that's shallow, something that's superficial, radical is foundational. Now, you have a word for math in the mathematic language, radical, but I'm talking about the idea of radical love has the idea of something that used to be normal in the New Testament has become abnormal today. For example, what do I mean? In the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That is human love. That's normal love. You like your neighbors, you like your friends, that's normal. Those that are good to you, you are good to them. That's normal. Jesus tells us, but, everybody, I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, that is radical. That is not something normal. Do you have people today in your life that you don't like? Do you have? Be honest with me. Raise your hands. Daming problema ninyo. Because the reality is, according to Jesus, it's one thing to love difficult people, but it's another thing to love enemies. But that's what Jesus tells us. Love your enemies. In fact, this is repeated all over the Bible. Everybody, let's read this together. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Notice, God is telling us, you are to be different. You are to love your enemies. Do good to them. And then He gives you a promise. What's the promise? Your reward will be great. And then He tells you something else. The evidence of being children of God, you will be sons of the Most High. Don't get that sentence wrong. He's not saying, if you do X, Y, Z, you become children of God. He is saying, if you love your enemies, your sonship will be manifested. The evidence that you are children of God becomes real. Why? Let me give you an example in 1 John chapter 4. Everybody read. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is from God. Remember, real love is from God. Now, the word love here has the idea of radical love. He's thinking of the way He wants you to love. This kind of love can only come from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Notice, if you love God, if you love people, the Bible says you are born of God and knows God. That's the evidence. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. As I speak to you today, I want you to examine your life. Are you really a follower of Jesus? Do you know God or you don't know God? What's the evidence? The evidence is, do you love? This is serious. Because God is not talking about religion. There are many people today who come to Bible study, who comes to church, who comes to this kind of gathering, but they don't belong to the Lord. You know why they don't belong to the Lord? Look at what the Bible says. Everyone who loves the way He wants you to love is born of God and knows God. On the other hand, the one who does not love does not know God. So do you know how to love? God is love. Love is not God, but God is love. Meaning, one of God's attributes is love. God is love. Love is not God. Be careful when you hear people saying, love is the most important thing. It does not matter whatever you do, as long as there is love. No, no, no. One of God's attributes is love. That love is holy love. That love is sacrificial love. So today, I want you to learn a new term. It's called radical love. Say that with me. Radical love. What is radical love? Radical love is supposed to be normal in the days of Jesus when He taught the disciples. Today, it is called abnormal. You know why people think you are weird? But that is how you should live. For example, years ago, in the first century, Christians were described as follows. This is a letter of Dionysius. Now, you have to understand, according to scholars, he's the tutor of the emperor Aurelius. So they are pagans. They are not exactly Christians. But this is how they describe Christians. Everybody read. Christians are not distinguished from the rest of humanity by country, language, or custom. At the same time, they demonstrate the remarkable and admittedly unusual character of their own citizenship. They live on earth, but their citizenship is in heaven. Continue. They obey the established laws. Indeed, in their private lives, they transcend the laws. In other words, our standard is higher. That's believers. They love everyone. Notice, everyone. Rich or poor. Enemies or not enemies. By everyone, they are persecuted. Christians were persecuted left and right. They are poor, yet they make many rich. They are in need of everything, yet they abound in everything. They help one another. Notice, they are cursed, yet they bless. They are insulted, yet they offer respect. Those who hate them are unable to give a reason for their hostility. My friend, the evidence of being a follower of Jesus is practicing radical love. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, practice radical love. Radical love is not an option. It's a command. Jesus tells us in John chapter 13, 34, 35, do you remember that great promise, that great command? A new commandment I give you that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So how are we to love one another? As Jesus loved us. And then Jesus tells us, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So the evidence, the best way to witness for Jesus is practicing radical love. Friends, don't complicate Christianity. Do not think it's all about head knowledge. I am very concerned with Christians today. I was just talking to one of the Christian leaders. He told me the major reasons why missionaries go back home is because they don't know how to love one another. Let me repeat. The reasons why even most Christians do not finish strong, do not finish well, is they don't practice what? Radical love. Our love is self-centered. I'm reminded of why we need to listen to this message. You and I need to grow. Do you need to grow in this area to be more like Jesus? What does it mean to be like Jesus? Very simple. Love. Radical love. Now, I don't have that power, and that's why I want to pray, and I want you to pray for each other. This should be our prayer. Everybody read. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love. I want us to increase in love. So can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, grow in love. Tell your neighbor, practice radical love. Yeah. Learn what is radical love. I'm going to teach you what is radical love, why it is important, that's what God commands us, and how do you do it? Would you like to learn? So for the next 4 weeks, we will discuss radical love from the book of Jonah. How many of you are familiar with the book of Jonah? Raise your hands. Sounds fishy. Jonah. Before we talk about Jonah, why is radical love important? Let me tell you, it's good for you. When God gives you a command, it's always good for you. Let me tell you why. He tells you, you will prepare yourself to see him. Let's read. So that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Do you notice the sequence? He prayed. His desire, may God cause you to increase and abound in love. As you grow in love, as you increase, learning to love one another is one another, and for all people, the result, the byproduct, listen to me, the byproduct, you will be established, your hearts without blame. In other words, it's a blameless life without blame in holiness before our God. Before God's eyes, if you learn to walk in love, look at me now. You summarize the entire commandments. Let me give you an example. If you are my business partner and you love me, you will not cheat me. If you are single and you are dating, if you love each other, you will not have premarital sex. Why? Because you love them. You treat them with respect. If you love each other, you will not gossip. If you and I love each other, we will have harmony. Why? I will forgive you. Do you notice if you love somebody, you can forgive the person? If you don't like somebody, no matter what, you will not forgive? So my friend, this message is essential. It is crucial for your own sake and for the sake of the Lord, for his reputation. We are to be called what? Children of God. How will people know you are a child of God? How? According to him, your love. Not because you carry a Bible and come to CCF. Not because you come to CCF. That's nothing. My concern is you and I have a lot of religion, especially in this country. We are religious people. But I'm just wondering, do we have Jesus? That's my burden. That's why for the next few months, I want us to learn to practice what? Radical love. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, practice radical love. Practice radical love. In fact, to begin, I have three important words I want you to remember about radical love. Number one, radical love is about people. Say that with me, people. Radical love is loving people. What kind of people? Difficult people. So tell your neighbor, radical love is loving difficult people like me. Yeah. Loving difficult people. To love nice people is easy. Not a problem. But to love difficult people, that's a challenge. So what is radical love? It's about people. What kind of people? Difficult people. The second word, it's all P, P, P. The next word is what? Proactive. Radical love is action. You take action. It's not passive. It's not just thinking. Can you imagine if you court your girlfriend, who is your wife today, and in your mind you just keep thinking, I love you, I love you, but you never take any action. How will she know you love her? Let me ask you. How will I know, how will you know somebody loves you? Proactive. Say that with me. Proactive. You take action. Love is a verb. Let me repeat. In the Bible, love is a verb. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. So love is a verb. I want you to imagine now the person that you don't really like, okay? Are you not thinking of that person? You don't like. You have somebody like that? Okay. What must you do? proactive. Do something. Okay? Do something. What is that? God will give you wisdom. The next word is pursue. Pursuit. You pursue. You know why? Because real love does not give up easily. You will pursue. Okay? Pursuit. Huh? Pursue. Comprende? All right. What are the three words of radical love? Number one, people. It's about people. I'm not talking about loving things. I'm not talking about loving money. I'm talking about loving people. What kind of people? Yeah, all kinds of people. Number two, proactive. You got to do something. And number three, you got to pursue. Don't give up. Now we see these three in Jonah chapter 1. Are you ready for the book of Jonah? All right. So quick review. Practice radical love. One more time. Practice radical love. Three important words is to love people. What kind of people? Difficult people. The unlovable. I praise God, you are so lovable. Tell your neighbor, you are lovable. By faith. Proactive. Okay, proactive. Take actions. Pursue. Okay. You got your Bibles with you? You have your Bibles? Jonah chapter 1. How many of you have read the book of Jonah? Raise your hands. How many of you have not read the book of Jonah, but you know the story of Jonah? Look at me. It's now February. I want to give you a challenge. Between February and December, I want you to read the entire Bible. Understand? I've known the Lord for many, many years. Almost 50 years of my life. I've read the Bible many, many times. I want you to learn to read the Bible, to know the Lord. Amen? So Jonah, there was this little girl. She was reading the Bible. And the passenger, she was on the airplane, and the passenger right beside her was laughing at her. He was a skeptic. He said, "You believe in the Bible?" She said, "Yeah." "You believe in heaven and hell?" "Yeah." "You believe in the story of Jonah and the big fish?" She said, "Yeah." "How did Jonah survive?" The girl said, "When I go to heaven, I will ask Jonah." The man said, "What if he is not in heaven?" The girl said, "Then you ask him and tell me." Some of you are not laughing. Maybe you did not get the joke. That's fine, because the story is really fishy, you know, Jonah. But can I tell you something? Jonah is a historical man. It's in the Bible. Jesus talked about Jonah. He believed in the story. If Jesus believed in the story, why should I not believe in the story of Jonah? Understand? But let me share with you this amazing story. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Notice, proactive. God took the initiative to tell Jonah. Nobody ever compelled God to love the Ninevites. God is saying, "Jonah, come. I have a mission for you. You go to Nineveh." Nineveh is the capital of Assyria at that time, present-day Iraq. It is noted for cruelty. It is becoming a world power. And God, on his own initiative, tells Jonah, "You go. Preach. Tell those people to repent." Notice, love is about what kind of people? Difficult people. What kind of love? Proactive. God is the one telling Jonah, "You go." So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to learn how God showed his love in the book of Jonah in contrast with human love, so that you will learn how to love. How do you love? Number one, it's all about people. Number two, you have to take the initiative. It's proactive. Look, The Bible tells us, by the way, who is Jonah? Jonah is a historical man. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, the Bible talks about Jonah. Who is Jonah? Let's read this. No more shortcut. Let's read the whole verse. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher, in the area of Galilee. So what can you learn about Jonah? Number one, he is called the servant of the Lord. Number two, he is a prophet. In other words, Jonah, if he's alive today, is no ordinary Christian. He's like a pastor. He's a minister. He's a prophet. He's a mature servant of the Lord. Understand? So that's Jonah. And what did Jonah do? God told him to go to her, Nineveh. God told him, go there, preach. Now, what did Jonah do? You know what he did? Let me share with you. Jonah rose up to flee, to run away to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What did Jonah do? God told him to go to Nineveh, northeast. Jonah went southwest, Tarshish. Why? If you read the book of Jonah, you will discover in chapter 4 why he did not want to go there. Because he did not want the Ninevites to repent. He did not want Ninevites to be saved because Jonah did not like the Assyrians. They were enemies. That is the extent of human love. Love those who love you, hate those who hate you. Be nice to your friends. You don't have to be nice to your enemies. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, were enemies of Israel. So Jonah did not like to do that. I'm reminded of my own experience years ago. When I was told to share the Bible with somebody that I really don't like, you know why? Because this same person was the one who took advantage of our family. He kicked me out of our own company, and I can remember his face. I got into his office. He told me to resign, to get out of our own company. Now, don't ask me how that is possible in the Philippines. How can you be fired from your own company? In the Philippines, nothing is impossible. However, the person told me, you need to see him. He's sick. He is dying. You need to share the gospel. In my mind, why will I go share the gospel? And then the Lord reminded me of the book of Jonah. The Lord said, you must obey me. And secondly, the Lord said, if you don't go, how can you teach the book of Jonah? Understand? I can no longer teach the book of Jonah. I'll be a bad example. In my heart, I said, Lord, can you get me out of this situation? I don't want to see the man. Even though the request is just pray for him. You know why? I know if I see him, I'm going to talk about Jesus. In my mind, what if he becomes a Christian? You see my challenge? I said, Lord, I will still go. My friend, I'm just trying to be honest with you. There are times when I don't like to do what God wants me to do. But I've discovered something. Radical love is only possible if you experience the love of God. Let me repeat. You cannot give what you don't possess. You cannot teach something effectively if you have not experienced this yourself. In the case of Jonah, I don't think he had ever experienced the love of God. That's why Jonah's love is so narrow. And I want to tell you something. If you experience God's love, you learn to love others. And the reason is many of us are unforgiving. Many of us are critical. You know why? You have not seen nor experienced how much God loves you and how God has forgiven you. In my case, I know I've been forgiven. If I've been forgiven by God, who am I not to forgive others? So my friends, you need to practice radical love. And radical love is not normal. It is not natural. It comes from God. But once you have God in your life, what is abnormal becomes normal. Let me repeat. Once you have the Lord, He gives you the power. You begin to learn. You may struggle, but you begin to learn. You begin to practice what? Radical love. One more time. Practice radical love. And how do you practice radical love? It's about people. And the first people you need to practice radical love are your family members. You know why? They are the hardest people to love. Yes or no? I think so. You know why? You see them. You see their behavior. And many times they are your own parents, your own family members. Who are the people you need to practice loving? Office mates. Who are the people you need to practice loving? Your seatmates. Turn around, just look at them. Now look at me. You need to practice. We need to practice loving each other. Amen? Now imagine we learn to love each other. I tell you, this country will change. Because love begins with God's people. Jonah ran the opposite direction. Notice, he fled to Tarshish. He wanted to run away from the presence of the Lord. Now listen to me, is it possible to run away from the presence of the Lord? What was Jonah thinking? Can I tell you? When you are running away from God, you don't think straight. Many people don't think straight. They think they can run away from the presence of the Lord. How can you run away from the presence of the Lord? But can I tell you something? Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish, so he went down to Joppa. Joppa is the southern part of Gate Hefer. So lower. And then he saw a ship which was going to Tarshish. I've discovered something. When you want to run away from God, when you want to go to your Tarshish, you will always find a boat that's available. You see, you want to disobey God, there will always be opportunities. Let me repeat. Do not use circumstances to determine whether it is God's will or not. That is not the primary reason. Those who want to disobey God will have all kinds of excuses. Look at Jonah's excuses. It is God's will. You know why? God's will. I found a ship. God's will. I paid the fare. I have money to pay. Do you know how far is Tarshish? I will show you the map. Tarshish. Look, here is Joppa. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. 500 miles. Where did Jonah go? He wanted to go to Tarshish, 2,000 miles away. Expensive. That journey can take a year to go. So Jonah was thinking the opposite. God says, go to Nineveh. Tell them to repent. Jonah said, I will not go there. You see, Jonah's love is human, not radical. God's love is radical. He loves all kinds of people. He's proactive. You go. Jonah said, I am not going. Now, let me ask you. Why did God use Jonah? Knowing he will not want to go. Have you ever thought about it? Let me tell you why. I believe Jonah is an example of people like me, like you. We know the Lord. We know about the Lord. But we insist on our own will. We don't want to follow God's will. Let me ask you, if your will go against God's will, what do you do? Like Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. And I realized it is possible for Christians to disobey the Lord. You see, you can be in this room and running away from God. You see, running away from God is not geographic. It's your heart. You can be right here, but your heart is running away from God. You know what God wants you to do. You know God wants you to obey. You know God wants you to submit to authority. You know God wants you to apologize. You know what God wants you to do. You know God wants you to break up that relationship. You know, but you refuse. My friend, you are running away from God. And running away from God will always have consequences. At this point in his life, everything seems to be okay, okay? Everything seems to be okay. You know why? My goodness, he went down, he saw the boat, everything seems to be okay. He wanted to run from the presence of the Lord. Everything seems to be okay. Sunshine, good weather, he's not on the boat. And then what happened? The Lord heard a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break. I don't know how long it took. Maybe they were in the boat for 1 week. I don't know. In Jonah's mind, everything okay. No consequences. I'm running away. My friend, you can run away from God, but God will pursue you. Let me repeat. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can run, but God is going to run after you. Such is radical love. I remember my friend. His wife was so mad. His wife told him, "I want to leave you." He came to attend Bible study, and he understood the meaning of love. Love is, in a marriage, is forever. So he told his wife, "You want to leave me? Go ahead, pack." So the wife began to pack. And the wife looked at him. He was packing also. The wife said, "Why are you packing?" "I'm following you." That's a true story. My friend, radical love, pursue. God is pursuing you. I know some of you here. Outwardly, you look okay. But inwardly, there's a storm in your heart. You don't have peace. And you know what God's gonna do? Look at what the Bible says. The Lord heard a great wind and a great storm, and the boat was about to break. When you run away from God, and your security can be in a boat, but that boat will not give you security. You know why? Because God's love is so determined, it will pursue you. Guess what happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. The Bible tells us, everybody read, whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines. And scourges every son whom he receives. People ask me, how come this person is disobeying God and nothing is happening to him? I said, relax ko lang. When nothing is happening to him, it can only mean two things. Number one, that person is not a child of God. Or number two, the discipline is about to come. But I guarantee you something for sure, from the bottom of my heart. A follower of Jesus who does not obey Jesus will sooner or later encounter storms. Let me repeat. A follower of Jesus who is not obedient to Jesus will sooner or later experience the discipline of the Lord. You know why? Because God is faithful. I have 5 wonderful children. I love them. If they don't obey me, my love is not sentimentalism. I love them. I'm going to do something. God loves you. And you're running away from him? He loves you. He pursues you. Now, I'm not saying any kind of storm is because of God's discipline. Understand? There are certain storms in your life that is caused by other people. I'm not talking about all storms. It's because God is disciplining you. But one thing I know, when you are a child of God, whatever happens to you, God has a purpose. Amen? In the case of Jonah, there was this great storm. The sailors became afraid. Every man cried to his God, not his small capital, because the truth is this. When you are in trouble, you will want to pray. Some people, they don't pray. But when there is problem, what happens? Suddenly, they become what? Prayerful. But That's how we are. And the storms of life reveal who we are really inside. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. Notice, look at Jonah. Jonah was peacefully asleep. Listen to me, just because you have peace does not mean you're okay. Just because you think everything's okay does not mean everything's okay. Disobedient people may think they're okay temporarily. No. Radical love is holy. It will pursue you. God was pursuing Jonah. Jonah was spiritually asleep, if you ask me. It's a figure of speech, if you ask me. Not just literal sleeping, but spiritually, that guy is off the mark. He was a prophet, not obeying God, and his conscience is not bothering him. Something is wrong. And the Bible tells us, God pursues. So the captain, God used a pagan captain, approached him, and said in Tagalog, "Bakit ka natutulog? How is it you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not die." In other words, the symptoms of spiritual problem are many. Jonah stopped caring for others. My friend, God loves you. What's the message today? Practice radical love. It's about people. You got to care for people. At this point in Jonah's life, he just cared about himself. People are perishing. He's sleeping. Proactive. Take action. Jonah was doing nothing. God was pursuing Jonah. Let me ask you, is there somebody in your life today that you don't like? And God is speaking to you right now. And God is saying, you know what? Radical love, do something. Last December, God spoke to my heart. As I was reading my quiet time, God told me to call somebody. I don't like calling that person. But the Lord spoke to me. I was reading my quiet time. And the Lord said, today you call him. I was about to leave for the States. 2 more days. I called him. And I greeted him and I said, Brad, how are you? And I'm so glad we spoke. You know why? When God asks you to do something, what must you do? Obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let me repeat. Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Well, let's find out what happened to the story. The Bible tells us, each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. My goodness, if you were Jonah, you'll be thinking, nobody knows. Let me tell you, you may run, you may hide, but you cannot outrun the Lord. You are here today, not by accident. Perhaps you are headed for Tarsus. You know, Tarsus is the place where your self-will wants to go. But God is asking you to go where? Nineveh. Some of you are headed in the wrong direction. You know my concern about life? What direction are you headed? Are you headed following God's will in God's direction? Or are you headed away from God's will? Only 2 directions in your life. Only 2. Following God or running away from His will. Well, the Bible tells us Jonah could not run away from God. You know why? They drew lots and the lot fell on him. Then they said to Jonah, tell us now. I want you to imagine you are Jonah. Okay? You got to dramatize this, okay? Here you are. They woke you up. Whose account has this calamity struck? What is your occupation? Can you imagine what is your occupation? What will Jonah say? Pastor, I mean, what's your work, prophet? I mean, look at how ridiculous it is. And where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you? You see, Jonah was self-righteous. He was proud of his own race. No love. I love the people who are like me. I only like people who are like me. People who are not like me, you have racial prejudice, social prejudice, economic prejudice. You know, we lack the ability to learn to love people. But God tells me something. For God so loved the world. See, love is about people. All kinds of people, rich, poor, all races. What is radical love? People. You got to love people. What's number two? Take action. What do they need? Do something about it. Pursue. Pursue what? What's good for others? Not easy. Well, let's find out. Jonah, I finally confess, I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Can I tell you something? That word fear can also mean worship. What Jonah is saying is this: I worship the one true God. I worship the Yahweh. Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord God. I worship the true God. The one who made the heavens, the one who made the seas, the one who made the dry land. Now, the pagans believe in many gods. They pray to the god of the seas. They pray to the gods of the mountains. They pray to the gods of the animal. They have many gods. But Jonah said, no. I worship the one true God. When they heard this, my goodness, they were scared even more. You know why? The man became extremely frightened. They said to him, how could you do such a thing? If you worship the true God, how could you do such a thing? The man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh. That's the personal name of God. Because he had told them. Friends, sometimes unbelievers are surprised with our actions. I am surprised sometimes at our actions. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, why are you doing what you are doing? You see, they don't go together. Because sin has a way of deceiving us. Sin blinds us. Let me repeat. Some of you are headed in the wrong direction. You don't even see it. You don't even know it. But everybody around you knows something is wrong. Sometimes you don't even know. But God knows. And what is radical love? God will pursue you. Is God pursuing you today? Yes or no? Is God speaking to you right now? My advice, don't wait for the storm. It will surely come. That is God's principle. That is God's design. Let me give you an example. What I mean by God's design. In the Philippines, you have a speed limit. 90 kilometers per hour, 100 kilometers per hour. That is set by the government. The government can adjust up or down. If you violate the speed limit, you pay. Maybe you pay a fine. Yes or no? But when you violate the law of God, it's different from the speed limit. What's the difference? The law of God, the will of God, whatever He wants, cannot be violated. What do I mean? It's like the law of gravity. The law of gravity cannot be repealed by Congress. It cannot be repealed by the Supreme Court, because that is the law of gravity. The law of fire. When you put your hands on top of the fire, you will be burned. You cannot change that. The same thing when it comes to the laws of God. When God gives you instructions, when God gives you a rule, the consequences are connected with God's rules. You cannot change it. You will suffer. Why? That's how God designed it. And that's why God is saying, for your own good, listen to me, for your own good, God is saying, don't run away from His will. Follow Him. Why do you keep fighting against the will of God? What makes you think you'll get away with it? Jonah got away for a while. He thought everything was okay. And then suddenly, the storms caught up. And the people were so scared, they asked Jonah, what should we do to you that the sea may become calm? For the sea was becoming what? Increasingly stormy. Do you notice when God pursues you? Gives you typhoon signal number one. Matigas pang ulo mo? Okay. Signal number two. Matigas pang ulo mo? Sige. Signal number three. Understand? The storm is becoming stormier. What must we do? By this time, I think Jonah woke up. Jonah began to understand he cannot run away from God. Just like what happened to my friend. I have a friend who grew up in a Christian family. He went to the States, Bob Jones University. At that time, it was so conservative. You cannot touch the opposite sex. Understand? 6 inches. The guy was turned off to Christianity. When he came back to the Philippines, he decided not to follow the Lord. Began womanizing. He was married, womanizing, drinking. But what is radical love? Pursue. God pursued him. You know how God pursues us many times? Not just through circumstances. Many times it's through people. God gave him an amazing wife. The wife continued to love him, even though the wife knew he was womanizing. And finally, the guy confessed, I have another family. The wife was so devastated. Now, I have a husband who also has another family. But what did the wife do? The wife experienced radical love. The wife knew God loved her. God has forgiven her. She told my wife, I will keep on loving my husband. So she would cook. She would prepare his favorite dishes. Now the husband would come home. But the husband has another home. Now how he did it, it's a miracle. How he can go home, at the same time have another home. But many men in the Philippines are expert in this, okay? I don't know how they shuttle. But one thing happened. The wife said, I will do my best. And my wife said, why? Because this is probably the only time he can experience a little of heaven before he dies. You know what she's saying? I'll be nice to him now. Because this is probably the only time he will experience a little of heaven before he goes to bad place underneath. But you know, God loved the man. And then one day, I received a phone call to visit him. Medical city. Stage 4 cancer. You know, I realized our storm many times can be cancer. It can be finance. It can be relationship. This man talked to my wife. Apparently, I was talking to the wife. And when he talked to my wife, he said something to my wife. He said, the Lord has spoken to him. Should the Lord allow him a few more years? He said, I'm going to evangelize all my barcadas. You know, God had mercy on him. God granted him a few more years. And he invited all of his friends to Bible study. They came to know the Lord. They came to CCF. Is God amazing? God is amazing. But listen to me. Why do you want to wait until the storm will hit you? for you to wake up. You see, storms are not always bad. Storms is God's way of telling you, I love you. You see, God loves you, my friend. If ever there is one message I want to give to the whole world, is God loves you. You may run away from Him, but He loves you. And He's asking you, you need to turn around. My friend, turn around. But I don't know about you. Jonah woke up. Jonah said, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. Notice, Jonah finally assumed responsibility. He did not blame anybody. Jonah said, I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. You see, folks, your disobedience will affect other people. Let me repeat. Sin has consequences. You follow God, you don't follow God, it has consequences. Jonah finally assumed responsibility. He did not blame the captain. He didn't say, bobo-bobo kasi ng captain eh. Sama-sama ng weather, nag-sail ka pa. He did not. It's my fault. The first step to recovery is assume responsibility. Don't have this victimhood mentality, blaming others for your behavior, blaming others why you are not following God. Many of us would love to blame others. Assume personal responsibility, like what Jonah did. Jonah said, it's me. The beginning of recovery is when you assume responsibility. Stop blaming others. You know the cost of obedience? It's nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Let me repeat. It is costly to obey, but it is more costly to disobey. And you will not know what I'm talking about if you are still young, because you think everything is okay. There will be consequences. Let me repeat. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. And the Bible tells us, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. See, it's getting worse and worse. Everybody read this together. Pain insists on being attended to. When God gives you pain, not because He hates you, He loves you. God whispers to us in our pleasures. When everything is fine, you seldom hear the voice of God. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know why you have pain? Because pain is God's megaphone to wake you up. My friend, I've learned to see God's love in the midst of storm. Satan will tell you, you are finished. God is angry. No. What is radical love? Pursues. Who is pursuing us today? Who is pursuing us? God, His love. And that's how we need to learn to love others. And the Bible tells us, the sailors prayed. The sailors said, they called on the Lord and said, look, they finally learned how to pray. They now prayed to the right God. We earnestly pray, oh Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Oh Yahweh, Lord God, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not put innocent blood on us. For you, oh Lord, have done as you have pleased. You see, God is sovereign. And the Bible tells us, they pick up Jonah, threw him in the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Now, let me ask you, if you were Jonah and they pick you up, what will you do? I believe at this point in Jonah's life, he was so down. The reason why Jonah said, just throw me into the sea, because in Jonah's mind, he's finished. In Jonah's mind, God can no longer use him. In Jonah's mind, he is finished. But can I tell you, radical love is what? Pursue. God is pursuing Jonah Because God has a plan for Jonah. God is not through with Jonah yet. Listen to me, you are immortal until your job is finished. I tell my friends, you are immortal until you finish God's will for your life. So my friends, what happened? The men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Notice the boat became a chapel. They worship God. God used Jonah. God can use anybody. Listen to me one more time. Radical love is about people. But God uses imperfect people to show His radical love. Today, I want you to hear a wonderful testimony of our dear brother, Dr. Tom Rojas. Let's welcome him.
In 1992, my older brother, who was a civilian police agent, was brutally stabbed to death. He was involved and his team in busting a major crime syndicate operating here in Metro Manila, and he was attacked by several criminals involved in robbery, illegal gambling, and the like. He was only 38 years old and a father of 6 young children. Hearing eyewitnesses' account and looking at the pictures of him soaked in his own blood were very hard to bear. The pain was so overwhelming. In anger, I couldn't help but join my family's cry for revenge. Our efforts to get justice for his murder resulted to nothing, even if we had used all our top connections. But by divine providence, the main murderer of my brother was caught 4 months later for a crime totally unrelated to my brother's death. Christian brothers and sisters, especially from CCF, then meeting at Valle Verde, also from PCCC and IGSL, began praying for me that I would be able to meet this criminal and share God's love and forgiveness. But there were two forces in my heart that were waging war at each other. As a committed follower of Jesus Christ, I wanted to obey, but as a grieving brother, I wanted to kill him. Oh, how many times had I played in my mind that I was there in the crime scene to defend my brother, and like a hero in the movies, destroyed the enemies. Accompanied by a friend who was a Christian police officer, I went to Camp Cramis detention cell and met the criminal for the first time. My heart was literally pounding, and I felt like I was going to puke, but maintained my composure by God's grace. And without introducing ourselves, I began to share the gospel with him using the 4 spiritual laws. As we were about to pray the sinner's prayer, he asked me if he could confess his sins to me because he thought I looked like a priest. And I said, okay. Not realizing how emotionally excruciating it would be as he gave account of how he murdered someone he did not know was my brother. And every blow of how he recounted the knives dug deep into my heart. And I could have easily become violent if I allowed anger to overtake me. But the voice of the Holy Spirit reminded me of Jesus' words, love your enemies. I died for him, and I love him as I love you. He prayed to receive Christ and trusted him as his Savior and Lord. And I gave him the assurance that all his sins have been forgiven, and that he is now a child of God. And when we were about to leave him, he asked, "By the way, brother, what is your name?" And I choke up and could not speak. And the Christian police officer told him, "He is Tom Rojas. He's the brother of the one you murdered a few months back." And as soon as he heard that, he stepped back and he fell down sobbing on my knees, on my feet. And right there, I was looking at him, you know, fell prostrate at my feet. And I thought to myself, I could give this guy a very powerful kick and he could be finished right then and there. But you know, as I was thinking those evil thoughts, the Holy Spirit reminded me of what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, to get rid of all kinds of anger, bitterness, etc., and by forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave us. And so, as I followed the Holy Spirit, I lifted him up. I stooped down and lifted him up and told him, "God has forgiven me. He has forgiven you too. And I have forgiven you." And as soon as he heard that, he immediately hugged me. And he was sobbing so loud. And what could I do? I hugged him back. And I was sobbing loud as well. And the macho Christian police officer who was with us embraced us both, and he was crying the loudest, and people outside were wondering what was happening inside that detention cell. Overwhelmed by the love of God, the three of us wept, rejoiced, and praise God. One of my students, when he heard the story, even said, "I was humbled because getting even would be the natural response of someone whose heart is filled with anger. But love is the overflow of the heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, after a week since he trusted Christ, my Christian police officer and I visited him and we did our follow-up, and just to find out from him that he had already begun sharing his faith with fellow cellmates at Camp Crame. Isn't God amazing that he transformed even a hardcore criminal? And I know that I could not have forgiven him on my own, let alone love him the way God does. Like the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 2:20, I say, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." My name is Tom Rojas, an ordinary slave of the extraordinary Master, our radical God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him I give all the praise and the glory. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. You will say, to radically love somebody is impossible. Well, I praise God for Tom Rojas. I praise God for many of you. I know many of you have practiced radical love. Why? Because God loves us. As we close, some of you are like Jonah. You have turned away. You are headed in the wrong direction. And God is telling you, "Hey, you want to come back?" See, God loves you. He will not let you go. That's why you are here today, because God speaks to you. And the Bible tells us, when Jonah fell into the water, what happened? Can anyone tell me what happened? Remember, in Jonah's mind, "I am the end. God can never use me anymore. I deserve to die. I don't deserve to live. I turned away from God. What a shame, Lord. Just let me die." But God's love is radical. He pursued Jonah. And you know how he pursued him? He sent a fish. The Lord appointed a great fish. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. And you know what happened? 3 days, 3 nights? For the first time, you read in the Bible, Jonah prayed. Not on the boat, not in the water. For the first time, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. Friends, God pursues you. You may be stubborn. He will send you storm signal number one. Matigas pang ulo, two. Matigas pang ulo, signal number three. If you are still stubborn, he will throw you into the water. Ah! And then matigas pang ulo, all right, boom. A fish. Finally, what happened to Jonah? He prayed. Some of you have not really prayed from your heart. You have been coming, but your prayer is not in your heart. I want to give you a chance today. If you have been running away from the Lord, you are headed for Tarshish. You have no peace. And God is saying, today, I want you to make a U-turn. And all you need to do, listen to me, all you needed to do, like Jonah. Jonah could not save himself. When Jonah was in the water, he could not save himself. Just like you, just like me. Only God can save us. Such is the grace of God. You see, radical love is about grace. And all you have to do is to pray. Are you ready to open up your heart and say, Lord, save me? Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, and you are ready to say, Lord, I assume responsibility for my behavior. I want to change. Will you change me, Lord? I want to surrender my life. I'm headed in the wrong direction. I want to come to you. If God has spoken to you, will you raise your hands? Praise God. I want to pray for you. Let me repeat. If God has spoken to you and you want to surrender your life, you are moving in the wrong direction and now you want to move to the right direction, you want me to pray for you, raise your hands higher. Assume responsibility, humble yourself before God, don't give excuses, stand up and I'll pray for you. Praise God. Stand up wherever you are. God has spoken to you. And today is something that you want to make it memorable. That's why I want you to make a stand for the Lord. You have been running away in the wrong direction. And God is saying, now it's time to change. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Praise God. Many of you. I know there's a storm going on in some of your heart. Don't be stubborn. God loves you. He pursues you. Praise God. Anybody else? If God is speaking to you, it's because He loves you. If you're experiencing a storm in your life, it's because He loves you. He's pursuing you. Anybody else? Praise God. You know, I know there are many of you here. Deep in your heart, God has spoken. But somehow your will and God's will do not coincide. Well, let me tell you something. You will not find real happiness in Tarshish. You will never find real happiness in the boat. You will only find real happiness when you surrender your will to God's will. There's no shortcut. That's the law of life. No happiness, no real happiness apart from God. Nothing wrong with wanting happiness, but you got to know where to find it. You find it when you surrender your will to God's will. Anybody else? Praise God. Anybody else? Father God in heaven, I thank you for touching the hearts of so many people. Look down from heaven. As they surrender their lives, as they surrender their will, Lord, they want to make a change. From going to Tarshish, they will now go to your designated place. Wherever it is, Lord, they want your will, not their own will. As you have forgiven Jonah, as you have forgiven me, Lord, forgive this group of men and women. Let them know you love them. Let them know it's not the end. Let them know when they are thrown into the sea, it is not the last chapter of their lives. It is just a new beginning. Will you comfort them? Will you let all of us know that you love us and your love is radical? You keep on pursuing us. Your love is so radical. You are proactive. You take actions. You are not passive. And your love is directed towards difficult people like me, like many of us. Lord, help us now to learn to love others. And if God has spoken to you, and you need to call somebody, you need to take action, I want you to stand up also. There is somebody in your life. You are angry. You are not forgiving that person. But God has spoken to you that you need to forgive that person. You need to reach out. Will you stand up? You know why? Because part of love is forgiving. It's radical. Praise God. Anybody else? God has spoken to you. There are people that you are angry with. They've taken advantage of you. You are hurt. But God is telling you today, you know what? Surrender your hurt. Forgive them. Anybody else? Praise God. God is telling you, do not harbor bitterness. Radical love is proactive. It's willingness to forgive. Anybody else? Praise God. Father God, I thank you that you are a forgiving God. Lord, many times the people we need to forgive are our own family members. I pray for your people that we learn to forgive from the heart, that we should not live by feelings. We should not be governed by emotions. Lord, help us not to be deceived, that we are not being honest if we don't follow our emotions. Lord, the truth is our emotions are usually wrong. Our emotions cannot be our guide. Help us to learn to trust you, to obey you, not because of emotions, but because of what you have said in your word. Lord Jesus, help this fellowship to grow, to practice radical love. This week, next week, help us to practice radical love towards one another. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, folks.
Connect with CCF through the following websites. Jumpstart your spiritual journey by joining a small group. We are so blessed you were able to join us today. God bless and see you next time.